Jesus Is My Homeboy has been in the news. I don't know if you remember this from a few years ago, but there was a popular artwork that people were wearing on their hats and on their shirts and everything. It was called Jesus Is My Homeboy, and they now have a Facebook page, and they're getting thousands of people joining up as we speak. And I thought it'd be interesting to go back and look at the Jesus Is My Homeboy story. So I went back and looked, and here it is. It was in the 1980s, and Van Zandt Frater was a young Texan recently relocated to Los Angeles. And one night he was driving in South Central Los Angeles, and he had need to use a payphone. So he pulled into the parking lot of a liquor store, and as soon as he exited, he saw a group of toughs. And they were young, and none of them were older than 17, and they were out to prove themselves. As Van Zandt walked to the phone, they set upon him. As Van Zandt remembers, there were at least 12 of them, and they surrounded him and began to ask him where he was from and other questions that let Van Zandt know that he was dealing with a street gang. One of the younger boys struck him, and Van Zandt fell to the ground. It was then that the younger gangster pulled out a gun. Van Zandt pleaded and pleaded, but nothing could sway the boy. Then Van Zandt looked around and then back at the boy with the gun, and then eye to eye, he looked at the boy, and he said, "Jesus is my homeboy, and don't you know that Jesus is your homeboy too?" The message was passed. The gun was withdrawn. He had connected with the boy living inside the gangster. The boy looked at the next boy, and one by one, each gangster felt the message that Jesus was their homeboy as well. Van Zandt left there unarmed, but the message still rang in his ears, and later that night, this realization would miraculously save Van Zandt's life once again. Van Zandt related the story to his friends, and he thought that the message was so powerful that he needed to share it with the world. And he and his friends set about designing an image that could be worn or printed to share the message. Jesus is my homeboy. Van Zandt was clear that he wanted his Jesus not just to be a white Jesus or a black one or a brown one, but a Jesus with no clear ethnicity, for Jesus was everyone's homeboy. Is Jesus your homeboy? In Hollywood, for a long time, this was very, very popular, and then it became Mary Is My Homegirl. And Madonna and Pamela Anderson and Ashton Kutcher and all these people started wearing all these Jesus Is My Homeboy shirts. And they were wearing it because they think it's a great thing to have Jesus as your homeboy. But is that enough? Is it enough that Jesus is your homeboy? Is it enough that Jesus is this great talisman that you can wear around your neck or you can wear on a shirt, and as soon as people see it, they're like, "Whoa, I'm not going to touch you because Jesus is my homeboy too." I mean, is Jesus just a great guy that lived in this world like a prophet? Think about it. Did you know that in the Quran, Jesus is mentioned 25 times in the Quran? In Islam, Jesus is considered a prophet or a messenger of God who had been sent to guide the people of Israel with the new scripture. The Quran, believed by the Muslims to be God's final revelation, mentions Jesus 25 times. It states that Jesus was born to Mary as a result of virginal conception, a miraculous event which occurred by the decree of God. To aid him in his quest, Jesus was given the ability to perform miracles, all by the permission of God. According to Islamic texts, Jesus was neither killed nor crucified, but rather he was raised up alive into heaven. The Quran narrates that he will return to earth near the day of judgment to restore justice and defeat evil. Like all prophets in Islam, Jesus is considered to have been a Muslim, as he preached for people to adopt the straight path in submission to God's will. Is it enough that Jesus is just a great prophet? Is it enough that Jesus is your homeboy? That's the question that we're going to discuss today. Because today is Trinity Sunday, and normally on Trinity Sunday, we look at the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, but our reading from today in John really talks about Jesus and who Jesus said that he was, because Jesus is more than just a great prophet. Jesus is more than just a homeboy. Jesus is something much more. At least that's what he said. Now, this account that we have in John actually goes on for quite a while. It's the whole entire chapter 8 of John. And I sometimes think that Jesus is kind of playing with their mind. You know what I mean? You ever have people want to play with your mind? Because Jesus is saying the most outrageous things in John 8, and all the Jews that are around Jesus, they just can't get their head around it, and it's like they're about to explode. And he said, for example, earlier in chapter 8, that Jesus doesn't need anybody else to give a valid testimony because he is his own valid testimony. In other words, he's so powerful, he can testify for himself, which was completely against Jewish tradition. He also said that the Jews were not Abraham's children. You're thinking, whoa, of course the Jews were Abraham's children. Says, no, Abraham's children would not have treated me the way you're treating me. You're not Abraham's children. And so they're about ready to just freak out. And then we get to where we are in verse 48 of chapter 8. And the Jews, they're just completely beside themselves. And these Jews, they answered him. I love the way they put this. He says, now are we right in saying, is this the way it's supposed to be? Are we right in saying that you're a Samaritan and demon-possessed? Think about it. Now, Samaritan was a horrible racial slur. The Samaritans were half Jews, and to be called a Samaritan was a horrible thing. And then to say, you're demon-possessed. They thought the guy was crazy. Now, demon possession at the time of Jesus was something that was around, and sometime it was where demons actually lived inside people, but in other instances, it was times where people didn't have control of who they were. And today, there's a lot of things that we would call demon possession that was demon possession back there. So we're not exactly sure which demon possession they were talking about, but they said, are you demon possessed? And Jesus says, well, I'm not possessed by a demon, but I honor my Father and you dishonor me. I'm not seeking glory for myself, but there is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. I tell you the truth, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. See, and he throws out another one. By the way, and if you keep my word, you'll never see death. At this, the Jews exclaimed, now we know that you are demon-possessed. Abraham died, and so did the prophets, and you say that if anyone keeps your word, they will never see death. How are you greater than our father Abraham? He died, and so did the prophets. Who do you think you are? To which Jesus replies, if I glorify myself, my glory means nothing. My Father, whom you claim is your God, is the one who glorifies me. Though you do not know him, I know him. If I said I did not, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. And then he gives this clincher. But your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad. Jesus said, you know the Abraham you're talking about? He saw my day and he was glad. Now we're not entirely sure which day we're talking about here when Jesus is talking about. It could have been the time where Abraham believed and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. It could have been the time where Abraham was sacrificing his son on the altar and then all of a sudden God provided a lamb. That could have been the day of Jesus. Or it could have been the time, which I think was when these three visitors came to see Abraham in Genesis 18. And it was the theophany of God there to visit Abraham, the triune God there to visit Abraham. But whatever it was, Jesus said to the Jews, Abraham saw my day and he rejoiced. At which point, the Jews go literally ballistic. They said, you are not even 50 years old, the Jews said to him, and you have seen Abraham. And this is the one that gets them, the very final sentence of Jesus. He says, I tell you the truth, Jesus answered. Before Abraham was born, I am. Before Abraham was born, I am. Now you have to understand the power of these words. You see, when Moses saw God in the burning bush, what was the name of God? I am that I am. And the name of God, I am, was actually four letters. And those four letters were so powerful that the Jewish people never even spoke the name of God. It was Elohim, but once he got his name, Yahweh, they never, ever once spoke it. I went to take Hebrew at a seminary in Denver. And while they're at the seminary, the guy that was teaching the seminary class refused to say the name of God in that class because there were some people who were Jewish that were taking that class with me, and they wouldn't even say the name of God. As a matter of fact, those four letters, when you came across it in Hebrew scriptures, you said one of two things. You said Adonai, which is my Lord, or you said Hashem, which is the name. And so as you're reading along in Hebrew scriptures, you come to the name of God, you never said it. You said either Adonai or Hashem. As a matter of fact, they told you which one it was by taking the vowels of Hashem or Adonai and putting it underneath those four letters. And so if you take the vowels of Adonai and you take the letters of Yahweh and you combine them in text, it comes up with the word Jehovah, which is where the name Jehovah comes from. But they never, ever once spoke the name of God. It was too powerful. They honored God. They would never say that. And all of a sudden, this Jesus comes along, and he's saying all this crazy stuff. And then he says, before Abraham was born, I am. And at this, they picked up the stones to stone him. And Jesus moved away. See, Jesus never claimed just to be a great prophet. Jesus never claimed just to be your homeboy. He never claimed to be just some miracle worker who just happened to live on this earth. Jesus claimed to be the great I am, the God from the beginning of the earth, from before the beginning, the one who created the heavens and the earth. Jesus said he was there. And John talks about it all through his gospel. And to say that Jesus is anything less than that, you're making a critical mistake. And people who say that Jesus is anything less than that are making a critical mistake, because Jesus himself said that he was God. So you have two choices, well, maybe three choices. You can say that Jesus was either a liar, or he's a lunatic, or he's something more. He is who he said he was. C.S. Lewis, in his great book, by the way, if you've not read the book Mere Christianity, you should read that book. It's a great one. If you guys want to start a Bible study on Mere Christianity, it's just phenomenal. But this is what C.S. Lewis said in his book. He said, I am trying here to prevent anyone saying that really foolish thing that people often say about Jesus. I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept his claim to be God. That is the one thing we must not say. A man who was merely a man and said such sorts of things as Jesus would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on the level with the man who says that he's a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else he's a madman, or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool, you can spit at him and kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come with any patronizing nonsense about his being some great human teacher. He has not left that option open to us. He did not intend to. Now it seems to me obvious that he was neither a lunatic nor a fiend, and consequently, however strange or terrifying or unlikely it may seem, I have to accept the view that he was and is God. You see, the door's not left open to you to think that he was just a great moral teacher. He's either God or he's a lunatic. There really is no middle ground. And C.S. Lewis saw that. In our chapter today from John, that's what he's saying. I am God. And you might say, well, how do we know that he wasn't a lunatic or a liar? And the proof of that was in the resurrection. Because only God could rise from the dead to take nothingness and create life. And because Jesus rose from the dead, he's able to prove once and for all that he was the great I am, the one who lived in this world, the one who redeemed you of your sin. And all the times that you've been sitting on the fence in your life, he forgives you, and he is your God. He is a powerful God. He is the great King of all kings. And I couldn't think of a better way to end this sermon today than this preacher from California. He's a Baptist preacher, and he talks about Jesus as King. And so we're going to look at that.